Are you having a rough day? Kind of limping through life? Are you sick? Are you tired? Are you tired physically, emotionally, spiritually? Well, I know why this is happening to you. It's because you're mortal. And mortality is a bitch. It really wrecks, pretty much everything. You know, it's a disadvantage to be dying. And we have no idea how much of a disadvantage it is, or that it has been, until we are made immortal. Then we will experience a shock like you will not believe. I'm at the cemetery because this seems like a good place to die. I don't like that cross back there, so I'm going to sit in front of it. This seems like a good place to talk about mortality. And any of these people will tell you that mortality's a bitch. They're all dead. They can't tell you anything, but if they could tell you, that's what they would tell you. Nobody's figured out a way to get out of it. You don't have enough money. Nobody has enough money to cheat death. There is going to be a generation that will not see death, but that's another topic. Right now, let's talk about this thing that's coursing through our bodies and spoils everything that we do. And it keeps us weak. It keeps us fairly helpless. But of course, you know, this is a purpose. It has a purpose. But when we get out of here, the contrast, we're going to realize how did we, you know, you may have heard me give this analogy before, but it's like, you know how you're out in the rain and it's a cold rain and your clothes are wet and soaked and they're clinging to your body, and you have to get home so you can change, and you kind of learn to like put up with it. You know, you get home and like you kind of grow a little bit accustomed to these wet, clingy, cold clothes. Then you strip off your clothes and you get in the hot shower, and it's like, oh, this feels so good. And then you look out of the shower at your cold, clammy clothes, cold, wet, clammy clothes, and you wonder, how did I even spend a minute in those things, right? But you don't realize it until you're safe and warm. Well, that's what it's going to be at our resurrection to immortality. We're going to wonder how we survived a minute down here. But thank God, and I'm really serious, I think Paul's life kind of got screwed up when he was shown a taste of the third heaven. It was so tough to come back after that. None of the people who died in the scripture and who came back were ever alive in death. There's no such thing. Death is death. Life is life. These are opposites. As I always say, if like somebody like Lazarus, if Lazarus had gone to be with God in heaven and was frolicking about the celestial wonderlands, then when our Lord brought him from the grave, he would have been pissed off to the max. It's like, why did you bring me back? I was having such a great time frolicking about the Empyrean, just hobnobbing from the Big Dipper to the North Star, and now I have to come back to this. No, death is oblivion. Ask any of these people. It's a figure of speech because you can't. I want to tell you about mortality, but first I want to tie up some loose ends from yesterday. I referenced this verse a couple times, and really these two topics are related. Talk to you about nature, that the nations by nature do that which the law demands. And I told you a shocking thing, that nature was not of itself inherently sinful. And the proof is that the nations by nature do that which the law demands. If nature is so god-awful horrible, how could it do something? Anything that God demands. I should say, instead of God demands, I should say, how can it render the fruit of what the law came to purportedly produce? We know these things are produced by the Spirit. Well, I'm gonna tell you what happened to the nature. Now, the Spirit of God can overcome what has happened to the nature, but the nature itself, human nature itself, is not wrong and it's not evil because God created it. But something has happened to this nature. It has been choked. It has been barraged. It has been infected by an enemy, and that enemy is mortality, and mortality is a bitch. Okay, I referenced this verse yesterday. I put it in the notes, but I didn't read it, and I think it's so good about how we produce the things of God. Romans 8:4. Let's start with the end of verse 3. Jesus Christ condemns sin in the flesh, that the just requirements of the law may be fulfilled in us who are not walking in accord with flesh, but in accord with spirit. The just requirements of the law are accomplished not by doing the law, because doing the law would be the equivalent of walking in accord with flesh. And we learned yesterday, Romans 8:3, flesh and blood is not able to do law. Flesh and blood. So if I'm walking in flesh, I'm trying to do law. Only in flesh can you try to do law. Trying to do law and flesh go hand in hand, and the result every time is failure. And some will define insanity as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But when flesh attempts law, it always fails. Then again, how do we come to this place where we fulfill the just requirements of the law? I told you the law was just. There's a corroboration there. By walking in accord with spirit. That's a perfect verse, man, because that just ties in the spirit. That remember Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, and all of those nine fruit. It's spirit that produces these things. And spirit, the analogy is wind, is air. It's the same word in the Greek, pneuma. Air, wind, spirit. It's as easy as breathing. You're breathing and you find out that I went the whole day without murdering anyone. Wow. That was a manifestation of the spirit. It was not a walk in accord with flesh. Okay, what's our problem today? Why aren't we able to do what we want to do? Why are we tired? Why do we snap at people that we really don't mean to? Why are we selfish sometimes? All these terrible things. Why is it that our natures seem to be saddled, infected with something? Because they are. And that something is mortality. And mortality is a bitch. How did we get it? I'm glad you asked. Because as you know, I have the answers. Romans 5, speaking of Adam and Christ. The whole thing in Romans 5 is Paul's comparing Adam to Christ and teaching us how superior Christ is to Adam, and that he undoes everything Adam did. Therefore, even as through one man, sin entered into the world. This is going to sound complicated. I'm reading this from a literal translation, so hang in there. I'm going to explain this to you. Don't worry, I'm on it. Let me check my note here to make sure. I had a list of notes here. I want to make sure I cover some essential points. Oh, yes, I knew there was one more point before I get into Romans 5:12. Why do we have people attempting to walk in accord with flesh and to fulfill the just requirements of the commandments in flesh? Why do we have that? Why did God present that in the Hebrew scriptures in the olden days as a viable means to righteousness, when the whole time we know that flesh is unable to do the things of God, and that it's in spirit? It's like breathing. It's like spirit living in you. It's the outflow of that spirit. Just makes you not want to murder people, makes you not want to covet stuff, makes you not want to dishonor your mother and father. It's because of the comparison. That's why God did it. The law had to come first for the comparison, just like Adam had to come first for the comparison. I've heard people say, you tell us Adam rescues us from everything, or Christ rescues us from everything Adam did. Why didn't Christ just come first? Because you wouldn't have the comparison. You wouldn't have the contrast. All these contrasts, sin and death, death and life, sin and salvation, Adam and Christ, mortality and immortality. Why didn't God just bring the good stuff? Well, why didn't he just do that first? Because we need to compare them and see which one is superior. And you can't even speak of superiority of one thing over another unless you have two things. Thus Adam and Christ, thus mortality and immortality. These people here are waiting for to be made immortal. They're not literally waiting. They're not in a rocking chair somewhere in heaven looking at their watches. No, they're all dead. Where are they? They're where their bodies are. Their bodies are shoved in there. That's them. That's where they are. They're in there. It's true, it's just their shell, but in Scripture, the way the language is, the person is spoken of as being where their body is. Come and see where the Lord lay. That's what the angel said to, was it Mary? Talking to the angel, looking for the Lord to spice up his corpse. There won't be any corpse spicing today because it's the third day and he's not here. Come see where he was, though. Come see where he was. That's the scriptural language. So he was in the tomb. He wasn't gallivanting around the celestial world. God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. But in the meantime, Adam was an inert, though attractive looking, pile of soil. All right. Romans 5. Therefore, as through one man, sin entered into the world, and through sin, death, and thus death passed through into all mankind. I like to say humanity there, on which all sinned. All right, I'm going to slow that down because this explains to you why we're dying. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam, all are dying. Oh, before I get into this, okay. You cannot, on your own, overcome mortality. I'm sorry, but you can't. The richest people in the world have not been able to overcome mortality. The richest people in the world have died. Okay? Mortality is a bitch. It screws you up. You can't do things you want to do because of it. And so how these people who teach free will, they don't know what to do with mortality. Okay, if you have a free will, decide to live forever. Just decide. Or how about this? Decide to go a month without sleep, right? Decide that you're not going to get a cold. Decide that you're not going to sin. Because sin is a result of mortality. We're going to see that here in Romans 5:12 if I ever get to it. But this is something that has been imposed on us, just as it was imposed on Adam. Romans chapter 8. This thing happened involuntarily. Yes. For to vanity was the creation subjected, Romans 8:20, not voluntarily, but because of him who subjected it, in expectation that the creation itself also shall be freed from the slavery of corruption. That's, corruption is also a bitch. Corruption is terrible. I hate it. I hate to see dead animals on the road. They're corrupting, they're stinking, they're smelling. And even when we are born, we begin to die. This is irritating to me. And again, nobody chose it. Nobody chose to come into this world. And for dang sure, nobody chose to come into this world dying. All right, back to Romans 5. Therefore, even as through one human, sin entered the world, and through sin, death, and thus death passed through into all humanity, on which all sinned. I'm going to read the rest of this. I know it sounds complicated, but it's one of Paul's famous run-on sentences. I got a problem with it. I got a problem with the wording here, but anyway, For until law, sin was in the world. This is verse 13, Romans 5. Yet sin is not being taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigns. Death reigns from Adam unto Moses over those also who do not sin in the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is about to be. Death still reigns even from Moses until now, but Paul's emphasizing death reigning throughout the time before the law came. And death certainly reigns after Moses, that is, after the time that the law came. But nevertheless, death reigns. But Adam is a type of him who is about to be. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, that is, made alive beyond the reach of death. Once again, it's the comparison. Why didn't God bring life first? Just make us immortally alive, because no one would appreciate it. No one would glory in it. No one would jump up and down about it. It would just be like one big yawn. Yeah, I'm immortal, so what? We don't want that. We want the contrast. All right. I'm going to start this again because this gives you the process. This is a nuts and bolts verse of how we got this way and why we sin and why human nature is fine apart from this poison coursing through our veins called mortality. Therefore, even as through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death. Adam was the first man who sinned, and because of that sin he began to die. God said to Adam, on the day you eat, if you do what I told you not to do, on the day you do that, it seems like God knew he was going to do it. On the day that you do it, what he should have said was, on the day that, if the day should come, if, this is what he should have said, this is what he should have said, according to the free will people, if the day were to come when you would do the thing that I told you not to do, then this and this and this. But instead he says, on the day you eat. This is like Jesus saying to Peter, before the cock crows three times, you'll betray me. It's like, how do you know? How do you know? How did God know? Well, creation was subjected not willingly to this. So anyway, Adam sinned, and God said to him, on the day you sin, to die you shall be dying. The word is repeated in the Hebrew. To die you shall be dying. The King James and other versions say, you shall surely die. That's a bad translation, because the word for death is in the text twice, but they just say, Moses must have just put it in there for emphasis, so we'll say you'll surely die. Let's ask these people, how do you do anything less than surely die? It's just like, do you die a little bit? It's like being a little bit pregnant. She's surely pregnant. These people are surely dead. No, to die, you shall be dying. Different parts of speech, too. The incomplete verb form and the complete verb form. To die, complete verb form, you shall be dying, incomplete verb form. Beautifully illustrative of the actual process of dying, leading to the fact of death. The process of dying leading to the fact of death. To die, you shall be dying. You're dying, is what God said to Adam, will result in your death. And this solves the whole thing of spiritual death. If you say that Adam died that day, on the day you eat it, you shall surely die. So people will say, well, Adam died that day. He died when he ate the fruit. Therefore, death isn't really death. It's kind of like a spiritual death, which is a contradiction of terms. Spirit is life and death is the absence of life. I don't like it when that happens. But when you get the translation right, as the Concordant version does, to die you shall be dying, that makes sense. He started dying on that day. Adam sinned, and he began dying, which eventuated in his death. This is how precise the Word of God is. All right, so through one human, sin entered the world. Sin, that came first, sin with Adam. Sin came first because he wasn't dying yet. Sin, and through sin, death. So Adam sinned like a domino, what ensued was his eventual death. And this here, death is a figure for the death process here. Death is a figure. Death is put here for the dying process. Through sin, death, and thus death passed through into all humanity, on which all sinned. Death passed through. This is what comes through the genes. This is what comes through the DNA. Death is passed through. Sin is not transmitted to humanity. No, sin isn't. How can you transmit a sin? Adam disobeyed God, ate the fruit, and with he passing that sin on to me? No. But what he is passing on to me and you and everybody that came after him, except for our Lord Jesus Christ, death passed through into all humanity, on which all sinned. That's exact wording here. I know it sounds awkward, but it's literal. That's why it sounds awkward. I'd rather have literal than beautiful, harmonious, melodic sentences strung together in the manner of the King James.
Oh, the King James language, it's so beautiful. Oh, it so rouses my soul. It makes my soul sing. Thou art this, and thou art that, and the Lord cometh, and the Lord goeth. Oh, it's so...
Who cares? Who cares? We want truth. I don't care how awkward it is. Let's attain to it. Let's don't dumb it down so that we can feel good because of how melodious it is. Forget that. Let's get the truth. Thus, death passed through into all mankind, on which all sinned. On which people who are dying, on those people, sin happens to those people who are dying. The people who are dying sin. Why do they sin? Because they're dying. Death is operating in humanity. That's why you sin. You don't die because you're a sinner. You sin because you're a dyer. That was good. Did anybody record that? Oh, I did. Yeah. You don't die because you're a sinner. You sin because you are a dyer. These are dire straits. These are dire times. And so it is death that is passed on. I'm going to continue this theme tomorrow. These people, if they were aware of what was going on, they would be cheering me on. And I know they're not going anywhere, so they will be able to hear what I have to say tomorrow, which is a turn of the coin, and you and they are going to love it.